So the epistle for Monday, Thursday is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Brethren, when you come together into one place, it is not now to eat the Lord's Supper, for every one taketh before his own supper to eat. And one indeed is hungry, and another is drunk. What, have you not your houses to eat and drink in? Or despise you the church of God, and to put them to shame that have not? What shall I say to you? Do I not praise you? In this I praise you not. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and giving thanks, broke it, and said, Take ye and eat, this is my body, which shall be delivered for you. This do for the commemoration of me. In like manner also the chalice after he had supped, saying, This chalice is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, as often as you shall drink it, for the commemoration of me. For as often as you shall eat this bread and drink this chalice, you shall show the death of the Lord until he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread or drink the chalice of the Lord unworthily, shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man prove himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of the chalice. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh judgment to himself, not discerning the body of the Lord. Therefore, are there many infirm and weak among you, and many sleep? But if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But whilst we are judged, we are chastised by the Lord, that we be not condemned with this world. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. The Gospel is taken from John chapter 13. Before the festival day of the Pasch, Jesus, knowing that his hour was come, that he should pass out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And when supper was done, the devil, having now put into the heart of Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray him, knowing that the Father had given him all things into his hands, and that he came from God and goeth to God, he rises from supper and lay aside his garments. And having taken a towel, he girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the feet of the disciples and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girt. He cometh therefore to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said to him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith to him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou shalt have no part with me. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, not only my feet, but also my hands and my head. Jesus said to him, He that is washed needeth not but to wash his feet, but is clean wholly. And you are clean, but not all. For he knew who he was that would betray him. Therefore he said, You are not all clean. Then after he had washed their feet and taken his garments, being set down again, he said to them, Know you what I have done to you? You call me Master and Lord, and you say, Well, for so I am. If then I, being your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash another's feet. For I have given you an example, that as I have done to you, so do you also. Please be seated. Let not your heart be troubled. In the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Well, if you were able to take part in the mission Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, we tried to take that time to try to prepare ourselves for now the sacred tridium, these sacred 3 days. These sacred 3 days where we look and see what the liturgy is trying to give to us to understand of how clearly that the church is showing to her children all that our Lord had suffered, all that our Lord went through in order for us to be redeemed. And so one of the things during the mission that I touched on very briefly was the discourse of our Lord. This discourse that our Lord gave at the Last Supper. Our Lord talked to his apostles. He tried to help them to understand of what would take place at this time. He gave them to understand that he would be leaving them, but not leaving them an orphan. That obviously he would also send to them the Holy Ghost, the Paraclete, but it would be later on. And so he tried to prepare them for what was to be taking place at that time, just in a few hours. and he tried to help them to see it. And so he gives them this discourse, this talk, in helping them to see that he must go. And that is where our Lord says, "And whither I go, you know, and the way you know." Trying to explain to them, he said, "You know exactly where I am going, and you know why I am going, and therefore you know the way to it." But immediately, doubting Thomas, St. Thomas, he tells our Lord, "We have no idea where you're going. We have no idea how to get there." And in some ways, our Lord has spent all this time with them, explaining to them, helping them to understand the proof by his miracles, proving his divinity, his preaching, all of these things he has done. And at this point, doubting Thomas says, "We have no idea where you're going. And we have no way of knowing how to get there." And our Lord tells him, he says, "You do." And this is the famous words of our Lord where he says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. If you want to come to the Father, no man can come to the Father but through me." That this is the means and this is the way that you must. You must follow this pattern. And so that is why our Lord was saying, "You know the way, because I am the way. You know why you must take this path." And so it is through this discourse that our Lord gives to them. There's many different famous statements of our Lord throughout it. But it sums up his true love for the apostles, but then also his true love for all of us. Because we know on this night, yes, he instituted the priesthood. He also instituted the Blessed Sacrament, both of which we have to this day, both that have continued on from our Lord, that have been handed down by our Lord, but also on a night that he would be handed over, that he would be betrayed. But yet, it didn't stop our Lord from all that he was offering to us. But that is why in this discourse, he shows them very clearly, "I am the path that you must take. I am the model. That is why I came into this world." And that is for us to understand. I mean, that is why, yes, St. Augustine will say, "O felix culpa, O happy fault that Adam and Eve had." That Adam and Eve had fallen because it gave us our Lord as the exemplar model, as the true model for us to follow. And so he therefore showed us the way that we must live our life, the way that we must follow him. And so on this night, when we have this mix of a joyful occasion, but then very at the very end of it where he's taken away, and how that joy quickly turns into the sorrow of realizing that our Lord would be apprehended, would be taken away by one of his apostles, by one of his beloved apostles. And so it is what the church gives to us as a stark opposition to show very clearly of how the church has gone from this joy of this occasion to then, yes, remembering that our Lord would be taken away in suffering. And so for us to contemplate and to meditate upon these things, that our Lord is truly this way for us to follow. He goes on to say that he is the true vine, and we are the branches. Helping us to understand that, of understanding the mystical body of Christ and the beauty of it, of how we help each other, of how we work toward for each other. But it all stems from then this true vine, our Lord Jesus Christ. That he is the head for all of us. And so for us to try to contemplate and to think about, and as I say, very clearly during this time, during the mission, of trying to go through the events and seeing the spiritual aspect of them, and how these events, of how they changed what would be to happen, of how our Lord, had his public life for 3 years, and then just at the very end, they would come and apprehend him. That is why our Lord even asked, I've been teaching out in the temple for so long. You know, basically, why is it now that you come? What have I said differently? And he had placed all of his preaching out for them to see, for them to understand very clearly. And so, yes, our Lord shows to us he is the way, the truth, and the life. It is the way that we must go to the Father. It is the path that we must take. And it's a path for us all. I mean, granted, as I say, it's the institution of the priesthood tonight. So as priests, yes, we look to the eternal priest of our Lord. But then for all of us to understand that he is this path that we must take, that we must make sure that our lives coincide with the life of our Lord. If not, we're on the wrong path. We are not following the proper way. And we know that our Lord is truth himself. I mean, very clearly we know that. His preaching, but his whole being, his whole life. That is why our Lord says to the Jews, and he says to them, can you convince me of sin? You know, how can you convince me of that? When he is this true life. And that is why then it goes into this life. The life that our Lord would give and offer for all of us. Of how he offered this life of sacrifice. That was the last thing that we saw in the mission itself. That the events on Good Friday, it would be the sacrifice of his life for us. He gave of himself. And that is the illustration of the true love that he has for us. I mean, granted, we can see that true love through the institution of the priesthood, through the institution of the Blessed Sacrament. That's why we call it the sacrament of love. We can see that. But what a clearer indication of him giving of his own life. Of him sacrificing his life for all of us, dying on the cross, suffering his passion. And that is why he tells them the famous words, greater love than this no man hath, than a man lay down his life for his friends. No greater love than the sacrifice of one's life, of one's whole being for his friends. And that is where then our Lord, he goes on in this discourse and telling the apostles, I no longer call you servants, I call you friends. Because they are going to share in the eternal priesthood, his eternal priesthood. They will share in that. They will have this intimate union. But that is also what all of us have when we receive the Blessed Sacrament. When we refer to sanctifying grace, every sacrament that we receive, as long as we have no obstacle, we build on that sacramental grace, the sanctifying grace that is coming from the sacrament. And so we build on that every time. But also when we think about it, when we consider it, it is the life of God in our soul. I mean, that is why then when we commit one mortal sin, the life of God is gone. It is no longer in us. And that is why we can say in the catechism that your children study for First Holy Communion, they are made enemies of God at that point because they have robbed themselves of God's grace. And so, yes, the priests, they share in this intimate union with the priesthood of our Lord. But we all share in that because we receive the Blessed Sacrament. Because we have the life of God living in our soul, as long as we are in the state of grace, as long as we have not put an obstacle to those graces flowing into our soul. And that is why when we see in this Mass tonight, we see what Judas did to his soul. Of how very clearly that it says Satan entered into him. And so if we don't have God in our soul, we have Satan. Very clearly. And so that is something then for us to understand of how one mortal sin will allow the devil into our soul. And how it is a shame that we don't come running to the confessional at that point then. Of how it strips us of God's grace. That we no longer have this intimate union with God. It's done. And so on this night when we commemorate these two institutions, they also very clearly show this great love that God had for us. This great love that God continues to have for us. Of how he allows us to continue in order for us to receive the graces of God. Of how we have building the sanctifying grace in our soul. And that is the whole purpose of our life. To continue to work for the grace of God. For it to build in our soul. Because that is all that will matter at the end of our life. At the end of our life, that is what will determine whether we go to heaven or hell. If we have the grace of God in our soul, we will go to heaven eventually. If we do not have this grace of God in our soul, we will clearly go to hell because we have made ourselves an enemy to God. We have turned our back on God, just as Judas did. And that is where our Lord would tell Judas, do what you have to do and do it quickly. Be done with it. But as we read in the liturgy, as we read in Matins of today, that for Judas, he had lost all hope because he allowed the devil to enter in. And so, yes, he despaired. He died because of his despair. And that is because he allowed the devil to have control over his soul. And clearly that is what we do when we fall into mortal sin. I mean, why do you think that a child, before they are baptized, they are considered a child of wrath? Because they do not have the grace of God in their soul. But immediately after their baptism, they're a saint. How quickly it goes from one to the other. But that is because they receive sanctifying grace for the very first time with their baptism. And so let us contemplate and to think. And if you look at the Mass itself, I mean, the entry starts off with our Lord saying he is the way, the truth, and the life. The collect immediately talks about the good thief and then Judas. Two opposites. The epistle goes back to talking about Judas and what he had done. And so you see how the Church shows us these two stark opposites throughout the entire Mass. The joy that we have, and then the sorrow. And it helps us to understand our lives, of where we will have joy and sorrow. The difficulties and the graces from God. But I think it is good for us to recognize and to realize of our Lord being, yes, this way, the truth, and the life, but also the illustration of the great love he has for our souls. Of how he is always holding out to us, friend. And yet, sometimes we turn a deaf ear to that. And so let us grasp very clearly what our Lord has done. And that's why I say, I think, if you read this discourse of our Lord, if you see what our Lord is telling his apostles, it is a message for every single one of us. It is to help all of us to grasp and to see that there was no greater love than to sacrifice his life, to lay down his life for his friends. And that is why in the discourse he tells the apostles, you're no longer servants, but you're friends. In the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.